Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
While your feeble mind cannot comprehend it, you struggle vainly against the misty walls of this place, trapped in a nightmare you cannot wake from. But it will not matter. It will never matter. Nothing will matter again. For I, Agogash the Terrible, are your jailer, and soon your executioner. Your only escape will be death.
Agogash plants his feet very firmly on the floor, and then he points down at the ground, drags his finger up, and as he does so, it's like he's tearing a hole in the fabric of reality. He pulls it apart and offers for the three of you to step through.
I do so.
Iona, Muriel follow you, and then Agogash steps behind. Hector, you're in a corridor. You can see it stretches off a little ways, then ends at a crossroads, and then there's a T intersection beyond that. So two intersections, one a crossroads of two corridors, and then a T intersection.
Okay, I guess I need to go down before I can get out. Is there any? Is it all just like wooden?
Like, yeah,
like we're in a
it's
tree.
Like you're inside a tree. Yeah.
All right, I will.
If it weren't the malevolent aura that exists here, it would be like you were. It would be feel. It would feel like you were in a scene out of Lord of the Rings in not Rivendell. In what's that first elven city they go to?
The one where Galadriel is.
Yeah.
In the Mirkwood or whatever.
Yeah, in the Mirkwood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Can I just? Yeah. Very like crap. Stealthily try to be as stealthy as possible if I can. Just like. Look it around. All right, let's try and make my way kind of anywhere at this point. It doesn't really matter. The first one that comes across. Be like, all right, just head towards a direction.
Highs or lows?
Let's go. Highs.
Highs. As you approach that first intersection, you hear something heavy walking from left to right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big bruisers comes into view.
Okay.
It stops, looks at you, and then keeps walking.
I'm guessing... but something to do with the heart.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or he's just like, oh yeah, another Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He's doing his job, I'm doing mine.
How much do I look like one of them?
You look exactly like one of them.
Am I taller?
Your height probably has changed, yeah. Yeah, I would say you're taller.
Jesus.
Shit.
You're not as big as one of the bruisers, but you're not as... You're bigger than what you used to be, yeah.
Huh. I don't hide.
Okay.
I try to navigate
all right.
This area, but with a bit more confidence. I haven't looked in them. There's no reflective surface, was there?
You can, if you look down where the bruiser came from, you can see a dining hall.
Oh, no.
You don't go that direction.
Well, I'm assuming if it's the dining hall, then there's a good chance.
It looks empty right now. You can see from here that it looks empty. I mean, apart from more of these automatons.
No, does it look... My goal is to try to go down.
Okay.
My goal is right now to find Gretchen. So I'm going to try and navigate some of this. If that looks like it's winding or feeling like it's going upwards, I would not be going that direction.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's weird to want to be like, I want to go down and like, I don't know. It's like, how do you navigate?
How do you navigate?
But you can kind of feel like if it is uneven,
yeah,
in a weird
absolutely.
Way.
Yeah, yeah. You can kind of look, you're looking for slopes and stairs,
yeah.
And ladders.
Yeah. That brings me past the dining room. Okay.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't, you're, also okay.
Yeah, you're not seeking out your reflection. Okay?
If anything, I'm almost
kind
actively
of avoiding
don't
your
want
reflection.
To.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
No, dude.
I don't want to know.
Ooh, I get a bad boy card.
That's wonderful.
That's a real shame. Yeah.
You spend some time wandering around. You see room upon room upon room. This place is big. Mm-hmm. It's very big. You get an idea of what the space, quote unquote, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's five huge rooms in the center of this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that these when I say huge rooms, I mean, what is that? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 feet by like 160 feet. Like huge rooms. And there's a bunch of smaller rooms all around them. Mm-hmm. This place is laid out like a maze. Anytime you encounter those automatons, they walk past, they act like you're just part of the furniture.
Okay. The automaton.
And you encounter no one else.
Okay.
And it feels this. It feels like a castle right now.
Okay. Do the automatons, do they have also pants? Like, are they also just like naked? Bits out, or do they have pants and stuff?
Some of them wear like basic loincloths. Okay. There are ones that are quite clearly meant as like service staff, and mm-hmm. they wear full on uniforms.
All right. Okay. So knowing it, no one else.
You find that space that you started in, that fireplace, the kind of entry, like an entertaining room almost, where someone would sit and be allowed to just like enjoy a drink and a book while they were waiting to be seen by Ivana. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alrighty. Is there, I guess, two... No, I want to be stealthy. Never mind. Is there any... have I found anything going down?
No, or you haven't found anything going down.
Outside?
You're not 100% sure if there is a method of going downstairs on this level. You see four ways of going upstairs, but no way of going downstairs. You don't even know if you've done a comprehensive look of this level yet.
All right. I don't want to go up. Unless you go up to go down. No.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I'll do another search of this level, or at least...
Another search of this level.
This level to try and find a way down.
Okay. This time, as you're searching around, you realize you missed one corridor, and missing that one corridor like reveals an entire extra section of this floor. And in this section, you find that there is a staircase going down. Highs or lows?
Let's go with lows.
Lows? You sure?
No, highs.
Highs?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sticking with highs?
Yeah.
Stick with it.
I was joking before. Go back to lows.
Okay, then lows.
Lows? All right. As you move towards that staircase going down, a gust of air blows from down up, and you feel something pressing. You don't see, you just feel a sharp sensation against your throat.
Can I close my eyes and then, I guess, think back to a lot of childhood? Can I open them and using a blind sight, can I see this thing in front of me?
Using blind sight, you are aware of an entity standing behind you with a dagger at your throat. It's vaguely humanoid sized, but with blind sight, you actually can't see it. You just are aware of it.
Hello again?
Hello. You are not supposed to be here.
No, I am not supposed to be here. You still looking for a way out?
What way out do you know?
Well, as you have said, I am not supposed to be here.
You feel a hand clawing at the hole in your chest.
You should be dead.
I should be. But as you can see, I am resourceful.
How did you do this?
Why would I tell you?
I'm listening.
I want to know where Gretchen is, the woman that was with me.
I can take you to her.
Okay. I will do my best to try to find a way to get you out of here.
You feel the point of the dagger press a little bit tighter into your neck.
You will try. I can try to lead you to Gretchen.
Well, that would be nice.
That does not make us successful.
Would you rather I blow hot air up your tuchus, or would you prefer me to be honest with you?
I would prefer your honesty.
Then I will do my best to get you out of here. You need to have some level of trust.
I will not risk my life on trust of someone I do not know.
Well then, why don't you just pretend like you never saw me?
The dagger, you feel it retract?
I will give you 10 minutes.
And I will try to find a way to get you out of here, no matter how long it takes me.
Ten.
I start walking.
Minutes.
you hear calling from the top of the stairs as you make your way down.
Nice. Yeah. Start walking, but if I'm out of eyesight, a little bit of a jog.
Yeah, you walk at first, seem cool, then, yeah, it becomes a full-on sprint.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you get downstairs into what is a dungeon. Immediately, wood becomes stone. This place does not feel like it was grown out of a tree. This feels like an old-fashioned, medieval-ass dungeon.
All righty.
Okay.
You're lucky. You immediately find Gretchen. She's there. There's a bunch of people in cells. You can see some of them are still intact, but a lot of people have had parts already harvested. It looks like they're being kept alive, possibly for more parts to be harvested.
All right. Okay.
Gretchen, mercifully, is whole. As you approach, she's behind, you know, like in an old-fashioned jail. Not like, don't imagine bars. Mm-hmm. Imagine a wooden door with a metal grate set into it so that you can see inside. When you approach that, Gretchen looks over at you. She's in a cell on her own. She stands up in shock and she rushes over to you.
Gretchen.
Hector.
Yes, yes, yes. Are you okay?
What happened to you? It's been months.
I do not know. Are you okay? Are you okay? Did you have the device?
I'm fine.
Do you have a device?
No, she says. She lifts her shirt to show you.
Okay. Can I just break the door?
Sure.
Can I just grab, or even just like the spear, just like.
You lift your hand to break the door and then the door opens as if commanded by your action.
Well, that is very strange. Looking around, the other people in here are all of... If I was to be like, I'm going to set everyone free, because that's...
Not everyone can ambulate.
Well, that's also, am I just out of the frying pan into the fire?
Yeah, is he going to get eaten by mutants?
Are they going to be in a worse fate?
Mm.
Question mark, question mark.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's pretty dire anyway.
Mm.
Okay. Well, I look around and...
You encountered enough people on the upper level to know that if you staged a jailbreak, if you don't know exactly what would happen, like how the automatons would react, but there's more than enough Frankenstein's monsters to contain this jailbreak pretty easily.
Was there anybody... Are you okay? Are you okay? We need to get out of here.
She nods. Yes, I'm okay. What about she looks at the others?
There is a lot of Frankensteins upstairs. Is any of them able fighters?
And we will fight our way out, Gretchen says.
Are any of them able fighters? Did you meet these?
Some, she says. Some.
I feel this might be a thing where we need to save as many as we can and then we have to recuperate and maybe come back for the rest.
Gretchen, upon seeing you say that, you see something that was just knitting back a little bit.
Mm.
You see something breaks again inside of her. Yes, she says, we can come back. You have convinced her to leave, but she seems as confident that the others are being saved as you are.
I could probably...
Oh, sorry, something I completely neglected to do. When the door opens and Gretchen sees more than just your face, she pauses and you see terror in her eyes.
I give her a moment.
Hector, is that you?
Yes, it is me.
What have they done to you?
I honestly don't know because I haven't been able to see my reflection. When the guards were leading the prisoners anywhere, was there a maximum number of people that a singular guard would lead?
Two of the big ones would come and they would take people away one at a time.
Two guards for one prisoner?
Yes.
That is unfortunate. I look around the other cells.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone who is like maybe an ex-fighter or anything like that would have been...
You can see a few people, would be adventurers.
It seems so futile.
Mm, yeah.
We can, I guess I can open up the, guess I could open up the doors.
To get a full account of who's here would take quite a while, and you are a part of, you got here very quickly.
I know.
You're running out of time.
I'm like, we could open up all the doors, but I feel that there we are less than 10 minutes until something really bad happens and comes this way. Let's go.
Gretchen nods. You could see she offered like a brief moment. Yeah. She was prepared to stand, fight, and maybe die, maybe, for these people here. But seeing you decide to flee with what you can, to take what wins you can, she just copies you immediately.
Something inside Hector breaks a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just the two of you, and it is just the two of you, you actually have, because you, of your search before, you know an exit. The two of you, without any hassle, leave.
Get in front of me, follow my lead.
You spill out from, it is a, so you step out and you were in a tree. The root network of this tree, it's as large as a tree blight, but it's not a tree blight. You can see it's not a sentient creature. It's obviously not a sentient creature. The roots of this tree are like tank treads rolling along, and the tree was moving. You can see that you are in an army. There is an army's worth of Frankenstein's monsters. And you can tell that you, as soon as you step out through the fogs, you can see they are marching on Barovia.
Oh, well, suns and stars.
It is automaton upon automaton upon automaton, these Frankenstein creatures. You see the spider ones that captured you. You see bruises like the big ones that held you in place back in the tree. You see big bruisers.
Oh.
Made of ogre and giant. Huge motherfuckers who would hurl boulders as a catapult might. You could see small ones, big ones. You could see ones quite clearly made out of wizards capable of casting spells. Some of them appear to have a higher level of sentience, and some of them you could see wear those the like little metal shields that indicate that they are being controlled, maybe unwillingly. You are able to, without any effort, slink through and among and escape. No one pays much attention to you. You look like you belong here. And even though Gretchen does not necessarily, they can see that Gretchen is obviously with you. And most of these creatures, especially the less sentient ones, they just don't question you. You look like you belong, so they treat you as if you're allowed to do what you're doing.
Okay. How do we get
home?
Home/ Barovia.
Because are you in the mists right now?
No, you're not in the mists. You're in a land you are unfamiliar with. You can tell. No. You can tell that you're still in the, as Emmanuel would describe it, you're still in the dark places, but you're in a different dark place. This one has a very different vibe. Imagine a sinister eco-punk universe.
Okay. You see. No.
You can tell, though, that there are the mists of the dark places ahead of you, and you can see the mists. It feels like they're thin a little bit here. So Mount Baratok is just outside of Barovia. It's just to the north of Barovia. You can tell you are on Mount Baratok making your way down into Barovia, or the army is at least. And because of the thinning of those mists, there's some mist, but not a lot of mist. You can just barely see through to Valakai, to the valley which Barovia, the town of Barovia, sits in. And you can even see Mount Gacchus on the other side of that valley.
Okay, all right.
You know, you actually know the direction you need to head.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, is there maybe some Vistani parts that I could then use to navigate the mists.
You could consult with Gretchen to confirm this, but this thinning of the mists might be a result of Vistani parts inside you. You're not sure.
All right. Can you see, I point to where the like, Valakai is, that kind of like that way. Can you see through that?
I think a little bit, she says.
So in the mist, am I seeing like a place for Valakai, mm-hmm. as in where Pip would be, a place that's, or is it different points of Barovia, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can see most, you can't see Kutri because it's too high up on Mount, you couldn't see Kutri from Valakai, honestly, it's obscured by Mount Gakus. But you can see Valakai, you can see the township, this is maybe the first good view you get of the township of Barovia itself. Mm-hmm. You can see Castle Ravenloft. You can see Exathandra's Tower. You could even see, I would say, you could see Krezek out to the west.
Huh. It's been months. Or not.
Hell, you could see the hill that Pip's little shack is on. You can't see the shack, but you can see the hill.
Hold my hand and do not let go. Do not let go. And I make a I could see most of Barovia. I'll go like a beeline to Exathandra's tower.
Back where you last saw, I should say, Rahadin.
Yeah. I know it's been months, but at the same time, has it?
Yeah. Has it been months for Barovia?
You can move faster than the army, so you quickly outpace it, making your way towards the where you basically left Barovia.
Mm.
As you make your way through the mists, you see a figure making their way north towards you. Tall, imposing, and extruding a power and energy. As the mists reveal them, you realize who it is. There is no one else that it could be. The hard, angular jaw, the wicked, but right now, soft eyes, and the deep, commanding voice. You feel... Hector, you feel as if you should be kneeling right now. Count Strahd von Zarevich appears before you, his arms outstretched. Hector, my child,
I
am so sorry. What? He looks you up and down. What has she done to you?
I pull in Gretchen close to me. And a little bit behind me. I'm not sure. But she took me apart.
Come, Hector. Let me put you back together again. Pip.
Yes.
You are as prepared as you can be. You have with you Agogash, Muriel, and Iona.
Mm-hmm.
The swirling snowball, the swirling...
Snow globe?
Thank you. The swirling snow globe of Valakai sprawls before you. You are at the western gate currently. Now, Jackson, do you remember much about the layout of Valakai?
Cozy. It's like a bunch of sprawling streets... with possibly some kind of central square.
Did AI generate this response?
I would wager.
So you know that there are three gates to Valakai.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's a northern gate, a western gate, and an eastern gate.
Mm-hmm.
There is no gate to the south, but you do know... So Valakai has a... I don't know how you would describe this. I guess it's not really... a half circle, but it is vaguely a half circle shape.
Yeah.
With the Blue Water Inn
mm-hmm.
being just to the west of center.
Yeah.
The church being quite west of the center.
Mm-hmm.
The Burgomaster's Manor being a bit north of center.
Okay.
And then the blacksmithy being pretty much dead center.
Cool.
So... going in through a gate puts you about as far from your goal as possible.
Yeah.
But the West Gate specifically allows you access to the Blue Water Inn to see if anyone's... the church to see if anyone's taking refuge there.
Okay.
They might be safe points on your way.
Mm-hmm.
You have been told by Muriel.
Yeah.
Muriel would have explained this to you as part of your preparations,
mm-hmm.
that they have lost contact with the
Blue Water Inn.
Yeah, with the Blue Water Inn. Mm-hmm. So they don't really know what's going on inside.
And a Gogash was saying he wanted to head to the blacksmith.
Yeah, the blacksmith would be his first point of call. As the crow flies, mm-hmm. to steal a phrase.
Or the raven.
As the raven or crow flies.
Bit of fun. You
got to make yourself laugh.
As the raven flies.
You got to make yourself laugh. Got to make yourself laugh because no one else is.
Yeah.
As the raven flies, mm-hmm. the fastest way to get to the blacksmithy would be to scale the southern wall.
Oh, okay.
But that would, you don't know, I guess, is.
you don't know the phrase.
Yeah. Don't know how dangerous or not that is.
And was I given any indication from Keening as to where he was specifically? I don't think so.
He told you nothing of his location.
Okay. And did a Gogash tell me why he wanted to go to the blacksmith?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the blacksmithy is where they summoned.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember
that. Father Lamech. Okay. So a Gogash who is aware that Keening is searching for Father Lamech's cell.
Figures that would probably be where he might be. All right, then is this kind of, we're having like a discussion about how...
Yeah.
What our point of ingress will be.
I was just trying to bring up a map so at least you can see. I hope that explanation for anyone else gives them a vague idea.
So I assume we're like out on the outskirts of Valakai, but still within the snow globe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as you pierce the veil, mm-hmm. it's like stepping into a snowstorm.
Yeah,
it's blizzarding all around you. It was already cold in Barovia, but
it's now freezing
it's
now? Yeah,
exceptionally cold. Yeah.
The quickest way to the blacksmith would be over the wall, but I don't know if we have such as a grappling hook or anything like that. Maybe we'll have to go through the gate and then make our way through the streets, possibly stopping at the Blue Water Inn or the church on the way. If we can kind of take that detour just to see if anybody's, you know, surviving inside, and they might have information as to how everyone's doing, or there might be survivors. I don't know.
It would be. Not too difficult for me to scale the wall. He gestures. I should say, sorry, something I neglected to mention.
Mm-hmm.
There is a gate here, but it is shut.
Okay, yeah.
A Gogash gestures to the gate and says, I should say it would be no trouble at all for me to scale the gate and then unlock it from the inside. Should you desire that entrance?
Well, I mean, we've got to get in somehow, so yeah, let's do that.
Very well. A Gogash walks up to the gate,
mm-hmm.
leaps,
yeah.
lands halfway up the wall, and with one solid throw of himself, scales the wall entirely.
Mm.
He moves frighteningly fast.
I briefly think about him sitting in a glade playing chess and how much he's changed since then.
Muriel steps forward. She'd been a step behind you.
Mm-hmm.
She steps forward. She has a cloak, which she is currently very tightly wrapped around herself. For a brief moment, the cloak almost looks like wings, though, to your eyes, just in the corner of your eyes. But when you look at her, it is just a regular cloak.
Yeah.
Looking at you, and then we discover the source of this and fix this. We fight that.
Yeah, Muriel, I guess so. I mean, it's not my first choice either. I mean, you could try and kill him now and fight both at the same time.
Is it not possible somehow to let our enemies kill each other? Muriel says. More of a, not really. Yeah, not an actual...
Not a suggestion.
Yeah, just a, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Look, you know, war, which I suppose this is, in a way, makes strange bedfellows, Muriel. Like I said, I'm not happy about it either.
Slowly but surely, the portcullis mm-hmm. begins retracting up, and then the doors themselves open. A Gogash is standing at the other side.
Okay.
You can see in one hand he is holding, or with one hand he pushes the door open,
mm-hmm.
and with another hand he has a villager, someone by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
He's lifted them up into the air. They're struggling and kicking at him. You can see there's a wild frenzy to this person.
Hey, allegiances, I say, to the peasant. Well, what to the villager? Who do you serve?
They turn to you, and you immediately see, as they turn around, it's like ice has blasted half of their face. Okay. One, the eye that you could not see as Gogash was holding them, that eye is a solid black, and when it stares at you, you feel a pit welling in your stomach.
Okay. Austin answered.
A Gogash, with a simple maneuver, snaps the person's neck.
Well, they die just like anyone else. That's comforting. Unless that required a Herculean effort, an Elfulean effort from you, Gogash. I assume they're known as Elfules in this realm.
Depends who you ask. Yeah. Gnomules by the Gnomish.
Dwarfules, yeah.
No, Elfules by everyone else.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Although the gnomes sometimes refer to him as Gnomulus.
Yeah, of course.
Gnomulus.
Trying to get as many gnomes in there as they feasibly can.
Gnome.
Okay, what is there any other, like, danger on the... Because I assume we move forward through the portcullis and the gate into Valakai properly.
Valakai has been ravaged. It really has been, like, one catastrophe after another. Mm-hmm. You can see the damage from the tree blight. They didn't have...
Yeah, didn't have
there
time.
There hasn't been enough time to fix that.
Is the tree blight, like, the corpse of it, effectively just still kind of, like...
The corpse is gone.
Yeah, okay.
Well... Oh, good question, actually. I hadn't really considered this, but it would be mostly but not entirely gone.
Yeah, okay.
The corpse of the tree blight, parts of it are still here, and it looks like you ever seen whale bones at the bottom of the sea?
Okay. It was sort of a whale fall situation
where
it crashed into Valakai, and for a brief period of time, they kind of piranhaed it, skeletonized it. Yeah, okay.
You could see... The skeleton, if you will, of the tree blight stretches up Main Street, Main Street Valakai.
Yeah.
The tree blight stretches up that. It has crushed several houses and large buildings.
Okay. Hmm.
You take a point of cold damage.
We need to get inside, I say. Is there a building nearby we can duck into?
Absolutely.
As we duck in, can I try and think about... Is there anything that you could harvest from the tree blight that it's bad for a peasant to have?
Well, Klaus Seeker, like, you'd probably have, like, that's some good firewood.
Well, that's true. Well, that's what I assume a lot of it's been used for, yeah.
Well, you can see a lot of houses have been repaired with tree blight wood as well.
That's probably not good, but that's a problem for the future, you know?
You would say that is absolutely bad for you.
Yeah.
It would probably be also pretty bad to burn tree blight.
Yeah, I don't want to inhale whatever the tree blight's going to be exuding.
Mm.
All right, well, we'll duck into a nearby house and try and warm up.
Maybe there's, like, some part of your training where... So you use very basic, simplified alchemy that can only really do simple results. But, you know, if you were properly trained in alchemy, the smoke from a tree blight's corpse
is
a very powerful
reagent.
In and
of itself, an ingredient. Yeah.
What they are doing is essentially... This is the modern day... Trying to think of some terrible ecological disaster.
Yeah.
This is essentially the equivalent of the ExxonMobil pipeline disaster.
Okay.
Real bad.
Do I think that, like, some of the cultists will have been knocked out by burning the tree blight to make fuel?
Depends.
Or is it more likely that the cultists can withstand the cold and it's been the good folk of Valakai trying to survive who have accidentally smoked themselves to death?
That's probably a mix.
Yeah, well, I reflected this in the brief second as I duck inside this building.
First building?
Yeah, honestly, just the first building we find. We just got to get out of the cold, and then we can start to plan a kind of path. We can start to make a path through the city.
You stumble into a empty building.
Okay, great.
You can see the people here probably left in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very big building. It's like three rooms total, a kitchen, a bedroom, and a quote unquote entryway.
Yeah, okay.
There is the air of people escaped. You can see that it's not like ransacking. It's everything's been pulled out to search for what they wanted to pack.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe among the items on the floor, you see a teddy bear, a grotesque teddy bear with fangs and evil looking eyes and a little tag that says, "Is no Blinsky, is no fun."
This fucking place. I'm trying to see if I have any alchemical ingredient that will provide us with any kind of resistance
to the weather. While you do that, I'm going to apply 1 point of cold damage to Muriel and to Iona.
Okay, I really don't. I don't even have anything that makes fire at the moment, which is annoying. I've got something that can give me cold damage, but that I do not think will help us. Oh, well. Okay. I would like to combine some ghoul innards, some, let's call it quaggoth veins, and some dragon scales to try and make a resistance to cold. So the ghoul innards provide fire. Mm-hmm. The quaggoth veins provide immunity to poison, but I want to use the immunity to cold. So okay. Apply the immunity to the...
Quite a strained variation.
Yeah, and then the dragon scales are for resistance to energy.
You... Okay. Odds or evens?
Odds.
Odds?
Yeah.
All right. You create an immunity to something potion, but it doesn't look right.
Okay. Well, you know.
It was supposed to turn like an icy white,
yeah.
But it turns blue instead.
Can I drink it?
If you want, you can drink a portion of it to get only a portion of the result.
Yeah.
If it does work, that reduces the efficacy of the potion.
Yeah.
If you can imagine,
yeah.
You could imagine drinking a potion that lasts for an hour, say. Yeah. Drinking it in 1/4 pieces does not provide you 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah, okay,
it provides you 10 minutes at a time instead. Sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's just worth the risk, so I know.
Oh, sorry. The question being, how much of the potion do you drink?
Oh, just a portion. Just a portion.
Just a portion?
Yeah.
All right.
I just want to check to see what I've made.
You take 4 points of cold damage.
Okay. Ah! Okay.
A potion of enhanced cold damage.
Well, hey, that's something, and now I know what it does, at least. It's going to make it a lot worse when I step outside into the cold.
You are cold inside and outside
okay,
now.
Okay, great. Good. Do I know what building out of the church, the blacksmith, and the Blue Water Inn we are closest to?
You'd be closest to the church, if anything.
All right, well, I reckon after we recuperate a little bit in this empty building, we barrel outside.
Before you barrel outside, as you're finishing up the potion, it's okay.
Okay,
you hear distantly over the blizzard, and it is a feat in of itself to be heard over the blizzard. You hear, bun, dun. Bum, dun, bum, dun, bum, dun. You also notice that there has been this entire time, you thought at first when you first opened the door that it was just the blizzard that had spilled into this building, but you realize that there is a fog that will not leave.
Okay.
Which is, maybe you also realize as well, that's not really the feature of a blizzard.
No. Okay, I whip out Emmanuel to the undead section, which doesn't really exist because that's not how they're organized.
They're organized by when you will encounter them.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe I find the tab that I've stuck in there. That
God,
has
I love this book.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those ones where it was like, Emmanuel, when he traipsed through Barovia, he encountered them this way.
It's his order. It's not my order.
So although maybe it was the order that people sent in that he's just taking credit for.
Yeah. Undead screeching, I say, standing up. Screeching screamers, howling as yelling undead, Aareth oft seen as a symbol of the demise of one and their lineage. The closer truth would be more that it is indeed correct. The screeching is a bearer of death. When one of immaculate, beautiful appearance cares for nothing else, it is possible for their death to result in this vile being. I like look around at everyone to try and figure out who it could, not among us, but who it could be coming for. The screeching relives its life moment by moment, and will oft be seeneth reciting and reacting theseth times upon the moors and places of its death. The screeching will refuse to transpose thyselves from more than roughly 5 miles from where it lies. It shall be noted by thy savvy hunter that a mist, I point to the mist, not dissimilar to one found from Mormor, would be spotted round and within the huntering grounds of the screeching, and that at night one can hear the soft but scarifying sounds of music. I like stop so we can hear the ding, boom, ding, boom, ding, ding. The screeching undead should be mostly avoided in the touching and in the viewing, for these are its two greatest weaponseth. These being what one in life would have wanted of such a creature of beautifications, which have now become its weapons. Thine screeching undead can, witheth a touch, drain thy vitality, using it to fuel thine selves, or they can force thy unsavvy hunter into silence, so still as to stop even the weave of magic. Or with a look, thine screeching undead can chill thy savvy hunter. For once again, he goes on and on. To the core, and cause thy savvy hunter to flee. Should thy savvy hunter face this, he became very interested in the phrase savvy hunter in this particular entry, clearly.
He might have had it bound to a particular Zed, I think.
Yes. The screeching undead within its sphere of influenceth, and thy my certainly shell for the creature cannot travel 5 miles from the corpse, then become thine creature's foggy attacks as well. The final and most terrifying effect a screeching can use upon mortals is its fearsome wail. Which wanteth thy has heard, then thy hunter shall have but a day to slay the creature, lest thy and all thy's inheritors become dead. Even before this death, though the hunter shall from heretofore be referred to as thy unlucky and unskilled hunter, for thy screeching's voice shall have placed thy under a curse. Goddamn, God, curses. The best method to fight this is to deafen thyself. Yeah, great. Really useful. Emmanuel. Thine screeching undead shall also be noted to slowly recovereth from any and all damages that thy hunter can inflict in it, so long as it hasn't seen its reflection. I like click around. Has anybody got a mirror?
You look at two women.
Yeah.
And you start snapping for a
anybody
mirror.
Anybody got a mirror? I'm snapping at a Gogash too.
Oh, I forgot he's still with you. You finish reading. I've got something.
Which the screeching hates above all else and will seek to destroy. Though it is not compelled, and thy hunter will note, yes. Even once destroyed, thine screeching will not be truly rededified and shall return, continue to destroy within a matter of days unless thy savvy hunter should drive a, goddammit, golden dagger into the very heart of thine screeching's corpse. Thine screeching is immuneth, this is important, listen up, to coldeth, necroticeth, poisoneth, and non-magical weaponry. It iseth, notedeth, to be of the resistanceth to acid, fire, lightning, and psyching. Like all soft undead, it can resist, or is rather immune to many conditions that would normally affect it. Thy savvy hunter and thy savvy friends. That's you guys. Well, sort of. Aside from that, the screeching only relives the worstest moments of its own being and refuses to acknowledge its own faults with them in them, possibly by appealing to the screeching's desire to seem like the good guy in arguments. By flattering the screeching with tales of thine's beauty, they may distract the screeching. Well, this is going to be fucking awful. And I close Emmanuel. Mirrors, golden daggers.
My condolences to you, but I fear I shall have to continue without you.
What do you mean?
If you make it to the blacksmithy, I will meet you there.
Okay. Well, I guess you've done your job of getting us in, so...
He nods.
I would assume that you will perish in this effort, but if you succeed, I will be very impressed and would, of course, still accept your assistance.
That's very magnanimous of you.
Thank you.
Gogash. No, thank you.
Agagash puts one of his giant, meaty hands on your shoulder, and you are shocked at how cold he is. Yeah. Despite the cold inside and outside you, you are shocked at the cold of him.
I never got to say this to you before I died.
I brace myself for an insult.
Goodbye.
Yeah, so long. So long.
Agagash turns, and with a whoomp, he pops out of existence, and you assume he has entered the ethereal.
I turned to Muriel and Iona. Well, I don't think we should deafen ourselves. That's probably not smart, but if we can block our ears, that's useful. Blocking our sight will fuck us immensely, so let's not do that. Does it sound like it's coming closer?
Muriel shrugs, and with a... No, Iona,
yeah.
Shrugs. Iona shrugs and with a sense of dry wit, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that we should not deafen blind? Maybe we shall cut out our tongues as well.
Yeah, very good idea. Yeah.
Surely the banshee cannot hurt us if we kill ourselves.
Does it sound like it's coming closer to us?
No, it doesn't sound like it's getting closer.
I mean, we may be able to avoid it if we can find out where it is. It doesn't move within 5 miles of it.
I
hate that I am the one to say this. I hate thinking this, but perhaps our lives will become easier if we find who it is.
Yeah.
And then maybe we will get a clue to where the body is.
That's not a bad idea. Can we get... is this a one-story building?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible to get on the roof?
You could, yeah.
Okay. Do I think... I mean, I guess I don't know, but... all right, maybe I like, hoop, hoop, and I climb onto the roof to try and get a better vantage point with my fingers in my ears to see where the banshee is.
You climb up one of the poles mm-hmm. inside the building, and you can get your way into the thatch roof so mm-hmm. that you don't technically actually even leave the building.
Mm, cool.
And you, with your clawed hands, you push the thatching aside to get a look outside.
Mm-hmm.
You scan around and see nothing but blizzard. You can't even see the building next to you.
Okay. Yeah, the blizzard's making it pretty difficult to pinpoint exactly what it is. Look, I clamber back down. We're going to have to keep moving forward one way or the other, and we're probably going to encounter it one way or the other. But I say we stay out of its way as much as possible, and if we can get an ID on who exactly we're looking at, I'm racking my brains, but I didn't really know the hoi polloi of Valakai in my time.
Do you have any like hunter's mark or something you can kind of like, you know, an eagle eye type thing you can kind of try and
I don't see? Really think so. I think hunter's mark relies on me seeing it, unfortunately. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'll have a look. I think it does. Yep, you can see within range and mystically mark it as your quarry. I can detect poison.
Muriel thinks for a second. What sort of person becomes a banshee, did you say?
Somebody obsessed with beauty, I believe. Let me find it. Oh my god, such a long entry.
Well, I mean, I know of one person only who, the Way of the Feather, we keep an eye on, or we tried to, as best as we could, keep an eye on goods coming in and out of Barovia. Only one person in Valakai ordered makeup.
Well, that is probably going to be it. Who?
Lady Watcher. She was the only one wealthy enough to do so.
I remember Lady Watcher, sort of. Do I know, did she, because she was quite wealthy, she had like a big house.
She has a, yeah, you know mansion. Where she lives.
Did
from memory, someone tried to break in.
Yeah. Was there like a graveyard attached, or does...
No graveyard attached.
Does Valakai have its own internal graveyard?
Valakai does have two graveyards, I think. There's one near the church, and then there's one in the north.
Okay. Do I think she would, if there's two cemeteries, do I think she would have been buried? I guess I just don't know if she died.
You don't know if she's been buried, yeah.
There was like enough of time for burial. Okay. Well, I say this. Look, I know where her house is, and that's about it. Whether that's where she died, who can say? She could have been killed in the street for all we know.
So, the nearest, what do you call it, landmark?
Yeah.
Is the Church of St. Andrew.
Okay.
Then is the Burgermaster's house.
Okay.
Then the Blue Water Inn. Then probably the Blacksmithy. Mm-hmm. Then Watcher House.
Okay. All right. I lay out on, like, maybe, is there like a table in this room?
Sure, yeah.
And I lay out with some like wooden mugs and cups and cutlery. Be like, right, this is, I think, probably the best path that we can take, hitting as many landmarks as we can and avoiding some others. I put down like a fork. We head to the church. Obviously, you know, if there's survivors there, that's great, but more we're looking for allies.
Mm.
We had people in Valakai before this that were at least aligned with Hector, and maybe that means aligned with us. So, see if there's anybody there. From there, skip the Burgermaster's house, I say.
Muriel and Iona nod. Sagely, they both nod.
We don't need that right now. Okay? We head to the Blue Water Inn after that. See if Danica and Irwin or any remnants of the Way of the Feather, maybe, are still there. Then after that, I think we hit the blacksmith up. I think, look, if we stop this, I gesture to the blizzard, then, you know... that seems like more of a priority than the banshee, you know. So we don't worry about Lady Watcher's house straight away. Obviously, things might change as we're making our way through Valakai, but for the moment, I think that's a good plan. I look to Muriel and Iona.
They nod. Muriel says, "I would like to Yes, I guess all I've wanted to make sure was that we checked on the Blue Water Inn, so...
Well, I think we need as many people as possible, so yeah, let's check on it.
I will tell you from the outset mm-hmm. that depending on the situation at the Blue Water Inn, I may or may not continue to progress with you. My primary goal, I think, at this point is to make sure that people get out.
Yeah. Did I give her the Taraka card that represented her?
I'm not sure.
I think I might still have that. Mm. I don't take it out or anything. Pip's just like, yeah, of course. Of course. You know, a micro expression across his face where he goes, if I was Hector, she'd be with us the whole time. But now that Pip's got the grasp of destiny, it's rotten on the vine. But anyway, that's just a brief expression across Pip's face. Yeah, of course. Do what you have to. All right, maybe I open the door like an inch and look outside into the street to just see if there's any heat out there.
Well, there's definitely no heat.
Yeah.
You, Pip, for a brief second, you think that you catch sight of a figure in the snow, but then they either step away or they were never there.
All right, I think we're good. And then I'll out onto the street and start rushing.
All right, next building.
Nice.
You burst... Pip into the next room, and as you burst in, you see this room, this building is similar to the one before. Mm-hmm. It's not much bigger, maybe still three rooms, but a larger floor space.
Yeah.
You see that the table here still had food on it. Mm-hmm. There are rats on the table squabbling over the food. They seem to be ignoring you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they turned to, they're just normal rats, then I don't even pay them any mind.
They do the same.
Honestly, yeah. We ignore the rats, move through this building, and then...
Good luck, rats.
Barrel out the next door and then keep moving.
As you...
Am I going to get an attack of op from the rat?
No. Hang on.
Move within 5 feet of the rat.
As you move to the next door to barrel to the next part, you see Muriel has stopped and diverted to the table. She leans over the table and you hear her...
She's talking to the rats.
One of the rats stops and looks back and returns. Muriel looks at you, Pip.
Well... You can also talk to the rats.
Oh, that's true. Well, I have beast bond. I can bond with the rats.
That's true. That's true.
What would we like to know? The rats see all.
Okay. Big question. Maybe where the banshee is so we can avoid it.
The rats say that it seems to make its nest somewhere in the center of town. Good. That would be near Watcher House.
But it's also near the blacksmith.
It is also near the blacksmith.
Okay. Well, we may have to figure out a detour. Next, how many people are there in the Blue Water Inn and in the church?
The rat is like on its legs, gesturing with its little hands.
Cute. Yeah, it's awesome.
Muriel gets really excited and she kind of forgets to relay what's being said to you. Yeah. She just starts talking rapid fire rat.
Okay.
Finally, she realizes you're in the room again. She turns to you and says, the Blue Water Inn and the church still stand. They seem to be safe.
Okay, great. I'll briefly glance at Iona and then back at Muriel. Keening and Eleniel and Cribbit.
The rat, it's hard to say because it's a rat, but the rat looks confused for a second.
Yeah,
and then,
fair enough.
And then you see Muriel takes a step back, mimes having a cowboy hat, and then goes, pew, 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 pew. She gets down on her knees, mimes having a big beret with a huge feather in it, and then mimes playing the dog. And then...
What does that look like?
We all know what it looks like.
And then Muriel gestures as if she has pointy ears and is pregnant.
Yeah, okay.
The rat brings one of its little paws to its chin, strokes its chin for a second.
These rats are becoming less normal.
Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Muriel looks at the two of you. The rats, I've seen such people. also near the center of town, okay. But they were traveling. They do not know where they are now.
Right, okay.
That is the last that they saw of them. There was with them... she also would have gestured Mark Quillett, extra elf with them.
Okay, well, we've got to keep moving. Thank the rats, and we'll get out of here.
The rat returns to its food.
Okay, great. Slam! Out into the freezing cold street again, and then if we've got to hit another house before the church, great, or right into the church, whatever we're closest to.
You make your way house to house to the church.